You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 3, Episode 9 tonight. Kieran Burke and John Breyer back in studio after a week away. John, what a whirlwind few days it's been. Once again, I don't think we thought it was going to unravel this quickly for the FAI and John Delaney.
It's the week that's brought down the FAI, Kieran. And
Seemingly. You can never be sure with this organisation.
Thanks to some absolutely really top-class quality journalism, Kieran.
Yeah, definitely. From Mark Tighe, Sunday Times, Daniel McDonald as well has been well on top of this story. J.R. Kevill as well, a man we've had on the podcast here recently. Those three individuals in particular have really, really done a great service to Irish football in the last couple of weeks. But, John, we're going to have Jonathan O'Brien, our first guest on the podcast now, in the next couple of moments. Obviously, he's the Sinn Féin TD who's been sitting on the Oireachtas hearings. We're going to speak to Jonathan about all the ongoings at the FAI, but what's your take on the last couple of days? We're speaking here on Wednesday evening, so the latest we have now is yesterday Shane Ross has announced he received a letter from FAI that the board is going to stand down in its entirety come the next AGM. Is that soon enough, that AGM scheduled for July? Surely the members should call an EGM now and get this sorted.
Yeah, it has to be done quicker than that, Kieran. I mean, it's huge what's going on there. It's despicable when you see what's been going on, to be honest, Kieran. And I don't think anybody will be happy until there's an EGM done ASAP. And I think these investigations into the FAA have to conclude quickly because obviously there are individuals there within the FAI that could be guilty of gross misconduct. And that is, I'm afraid, the only way that change is going to occur.
Obviously as well, there's clubs that are now been affected by this. Cork City have a development going on down in Glenmire. Finn Harp Stadium now once again is going to be delayed by this. So this is now affecting the clubs.
Yeah, and we've also had a breaking news today of some interesting developments from St. Patrick's Athletic, who have spoken to UEFA. And I can only presume that could be in relation to Waterford's position in the Europa League, Kieran.
Yeah, a statement just breaking as we came on air. A very, very brief statement from the FAI to say that UEFA have been in contact in relation to licensing, club licensing matters. So again, as John has pointed out there, we can only assume, and I've had a quick scroll through Twitter and checking out the journalist's take on this, everyone in agreement that we can only assume this is to do with Waterford FC's position in the Europa League. John.
And Waterford, one of the clubs that came out and actually backed John Delaney.
Yeah, well, look, you can only draw your own conclusions in that regard. I know I wrote a piece this week on BetweenTheStripes.ie on the total silence, the lack of action from the League of Ireland clubs while this whole fiasco has been going on. We've seen no united action taken on this. The only two statements we've seen from League of Ireland clubs, Waterford and Limerick, were in support of John Delaney. No retraction of those statements, despite the latest revelations that have continued to come out against the former CEO. For me, the league once again has been totally disjointed in its action on this, and it's a problem that's affected Irish football for so long now. Clubs just cannot agree on the colour of the grass.
I think one of the issues, Kieran, is this could take a little while because there's got to be investigations done, and we know that the company Mazars, the accounting company, they're looking at the books and so on. It's not going to happen overnight, I don't think, Kieran. So I think us as fans and keen watchers of the League of Ireland, and obviously we're looking at what's going on in the FAI, it could take a little while for this story to totally unravel.
Yeah, we're going to go and speak to Jonathan O'Brien now any second. But John, just final point on this to open the show. Do you have faith in the current system to elect a new board? If this board is to stand down in its entirety, if John Delaney is to step away 100% from the FAI, the new setup would be elected via the FAI council. Now, my problem with that council is a lot of the members there, just like John Delaney and co, have been serving on that council for decades.
I don't think that's going to happen, Kieran. I think there'll be a whole overhaul of the situation. You look at, now I won't be Shane Ross's number one fan, but what he said was very, very pertinent in that he was looking at who should be on the FAI board. And he suggested a number of different people, represented all different aspects.
Fans reps, players reps, coaches reps,
exactly.
Women's football reps.
And I think we have to applaud that, and let's hope that that is what happens.
Whether Shane Ross has the power to push that through, though, John, there is only so far the government can go in terms of, obviously they can make suggestions, etc. But government interference within a football association, that's not looked on upon by FIFA very well, so... There is only so far the government can go on this.
So I think our next guest, Kieran, will be able to shed some light on what the next steps are and, you know, how long this particular process is going to take.
Yeah, we'll go to our first interview of the night now, folks. We're delighted to say Jonathan O'Brien, the Sinn Féin TD and Oireachtas Hero member, joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast now. So Sinn Féin TD Jonathan O'Brien joins us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast to discuss the latest goings on in the FEI scandal. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us.
No bother, lads.
I know it's been a very, very busy couple of weeks for yourself, Jonathan. But I suppose the first question is, up until yesterday, we heard from Shane Ross, he's received a letter from the FEI board stating they do intend to resign in full. Where do you see the process going from here and timescales in that sense?
It's, to be honest, it's a very fluid situation. So, I mean, while Shane Ross got a letter and I've seen the letter and the board didn't indicate that they are willing to step down, there was no time frames contained in it. I was interested that John Tracy said today that they were hoping to bring forward some proposals for restructuring the way the FAA works within the next 2 months. So I would imagine the aim by the department and Sports Ireland is to see a new board elected, probably at the AGM, if not sooner.
Jonathan, what do you propose that the new board might be made up of?
I think it needs to be made up of the footballing community. It's as simple as that. It needs to be made up of the local clubs, League of Ireland clubs, supporters. There needs to be a representative from referees on it. I think it just needs to be very reflective of the footballing community in general. Now, how we get to that point is a bit unclear. I know Shane Ross spoke yesterday about convening a stakeholders forum where everyone comes together and has their input into how the new governance structure should look into the future. But we also know as well that Adrian Horan was appointed today to chair the committee that's actually going to look at the reforms. So I would hope that it's reflective of the footballing community. That remains to be seen. But I am a little bit hopeful that we are turning a corner and we are going to get back to talking about football in the very near future.
Of course, the critics to that might argue that there is already a system in place in terms of the FEI Council and they are the ones that elect the board of the FEI. A criticism myself and John have just raised in our intro before we got you on air, Jonathan, is that the fact that many of the server members on that FEI council, they themselves have been in those positions for a very, very long time. They were the ones that elected the current regime. So do you feel that maybe if a new board is to be elected, they should come outside of that council setup?
Well, let's see what the proposal comes back with. But I mean, there's no doubt that the 60 council members who are currently there, you know, they have to share the responsibility of the failings of this board. They're the people that elected them, continually elected them. So that system hasn't worked. It hasn't given us a good governance structure. So they have to shoulder some of that responsibility as well. And they have to also be part of the solution. I mean, you can't just get rid of a board and the executive vice president and then people start looking for the 60 council members to be gone as well. That's not just feasible. So while they have been part of the problem, I do believe they have a role in being part of the solution as well.
And obviously one very high profile figure that's been making a lot of noises about the FEI setup in the last while has been Niall Quinn. Have you had a chance to review any of his proposals and any initial thoughts on what he has put forward so far?
I haven't had a chance. We were stuck in committee yesterday, but I mean, I'm glad Niall is talking up the League of Ireland. I mean, I've heard a couple of his interviews and he's talking about putting League of Ireland clubs at the heart of it and promoting them, improving the league. So I'd be interested in looking at his proposals, but I mean, it has to go beyond just talking about it. I mean, if Niall Quinn wants to be part of the new FAI, the new restructured FAI, then he needs to come out and say that very clearly. And I think most people would welcome that. But as for the board itself, that's going to be the overarching governing structure that needs to be made up of not just football people. It also needs to be made up of people with a skill set that, you know, is actually able to run an organisation of that size.
Yeah, and you've mentioned the League of Ireland a few times already there. Just in terms of the league, do you feel that the league should be central to Irish football going forward? Because that clearly hasn't been the case in the last decade or so since the FEI took control of the league back in 2007. A lot of the focus seems to have been put on solely the senior international team, which is very strange considering the amount of players the League of Ireland has produced for that senior team.
Well, as somebody once said, we're a problem child. Unfortunately, the problem child has found its voice, and I don't think it's going to shut up anytime soon. So I think any new structure that's going to be there within the FAI has to realise that the League of Ireland is the professional league in this country. It needs to be supported, it needs to be promoted. It has shown by the number of people who actually end up playing in the senior team that it is an attractive product, if properly brought into the structures of the FAI. The FAI have completely ignored it. As I said, to many within the FAI, the League of Ireland has been a problem child down through the years. And it's probably a problem child they wish they didn't have to deal with.
Do the clubs, though, need to maybe form more of a united front when it comes to issues like we've seen in the last couple of weeks? I mean, the only two statements we've seen from League of Ireland clubs were, in fact, in support of the current regime, statements released by Limerick FC and Waterford FC. League of Ireland clubs down the years have always struggled to come together and cooperate on issues such as this. Do the clubs need to form more of a united front? Obviously, we have the PCA Alliance at the moment, but some would argue maybe it's not been the most effective forum so far.
No, I think that's a fair point. I think League of Ireland clubs need to start working together. And I think now that the majority of League of Ireland clubs are moving to a fan-owned model, I think it's an ideal opportunity. I mean, because the people who are actually owning the club, running the club, who are doing the day-to-day affairs of those clubs are actually fans of football themselves. You take Bowes, Rovers, ourselves down in Cork City, all fan-owned. But we are very sceptical as well of the FAI. And that's why I wouldn't be, you know, expecting statements coming out from the likes of Cork City or other fan-owned clubs. You know, they've been burnt in the past. But I do think it's an opportunity for clubs to come together and to be part of, you know, the new governance structure as well.
During this whole ongoing saga the last couple of weeks, has anyone been able to establish yet the sponsorship of the League of Ireland? It's still totally unclear to the clubs themselves, to supporters, how much the league receives from their sponsors, how much of that goes back into the league. There's very, very little transparency at the moment regarding the League of Ireland, the setup, the TV deals, etc. And it seems that the participation agreement has really been used to gag clubs from asking about such matters.
Well, I know when we were involved with Cork City, and we would have a TV game, sometimes we would actually curse it because the amount of money that we would lose in revenue from gate receipts wouldn't be compensated from, you know, the fee we would get for actually being on telly. And if you're in a situation like that where it's actually cheaper not to be on telly for a League of Ireland club, then you would really have to question the commitment and the investment from the FAI. But we don't know exactly what the sponsorship deal is. But I would hope that the reviews that are now underway in terms of Mazars and Grant Thornton will shed some light on that.
And just moving back to, I suppose, a political standpoint on this, one question I'd love to ask you, Jonathan. Do you find it strange that sport, it's such an important part of people's life here in Ireland, do you find it strange that it's thrown in with transport and tourism? Do you feel that the Minister for Sport should just be the Minister for Sport? Is it time that maybe that was looked at as something going forward?
I think it can be looked at. The difficulty is you only have 16 ministries. And you can't have any more, so usually there are a number of areas all lobbed into one department. Government would argue that they have a dedicated junior minister dealing with sport in Brendan Griffin, but you know, I'm not opposed to that option of having a dedicated senior minister for sport.
And just with the suspension of funding now towards the FAI, obviously there's clubs now that may suffer through this. Obviously Cork City down there have the Glenmire project going on at the moment. Finn Harp Stadium has been delayed for well over a decade and shows no sign of movement. Are those clubs in danger now of missing out on those projects?
They are in danger, but I would caution about over-egging that. I mean, the Minister was very clear yesterday in the committee that the FEI can still apply for funding. It will still be allocated funding, but it just will not be able to draw down that funding until it deals with the governance issues. So the Minister has kind of given us a bit of a window to get our house in order, and if we can get it in order very quickly, then I wouldn't be too fearful of those projects not going ahead. But again, that remains to be seen and how quickly we can actually fix the head of the FEA and be able to actually prove that we are now an organisation with a proper governance structure in place to actually draw down those funds and be trusted with them.
And finally, Jonathan, before we let you go, obviously everyone is well aware of your great connection with Cork City down the years. What have you made of the start to the season? Very disappointing so far?
It has been disappointing. It's something we're not used to for the last number of seasons. Probably used to it too much down through the number of decades, but the last number of seasons we've had great starts to the season. This year is an exception. Look, we have Waterford United on Friday night down the RSC. Hopefully it's the start of a revival. I don't think too many City fans will be looking for a knee-jerk reaction and calling for people's heads right now. We're a quarter of the way through the season. But obviously it is disappointing. But I'm fully confident that the current management we have in place have the best interests of the club at heart and can turn it around. If anyone can turn it around, it's the likes of John Caulfield.
And that's the note we'll leave it on. Jonathan, been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much for taking time out of your schedule to speak to us, and keep up the good work.
Thanks a million.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So great to hear from Jonathan O'Brien there, John. And I think it's fair to say that although these issues we have spoken about tonight and in the last couple of weeks, that they are so crucial to the future of Irish football, I think there's a little bit of just frustration, and it's almost taken over the League of Ireland headlines in the last couple of weeks. So
yeah, and I think everybody wants everything done straight away as well. And like I said, there has to be some patience. But, you know, I'd be pretty confident that when this gets sorted out, you know, that the words that, like Shane Ross was saying, that there'll be hopefully be wholesale changes, and you know, there'll be a fresh look on the League of Ireland within the FAI.
Yeah, but look, let's move on from the whole FAI scandal on this week's show and focus solely now on our domestic league. And we'll start with the Premier Division review. Two sets of fixtures to get through, Friday night's games and Monday night's games. We'll start with the Friday night games. And the result of the weekend, Sligo Rovers defeating the champions by 2-1 at the Showgrounds.
And Kieran, it was a deserved win for Sligo, I have to say.
Totally deserved.
And they scored from the kickoff.
Yeah,
what a quick start to this match. Basically, Sligo possession from the kickoff. Nice move. Finished in a finish from Romeo Parks to put them one up after 20-odd seconds.
Yeah, I was due to attend this one, but you can probably hear from my voice, I've not been feeling the best this week. I've been off work all week, but dragged myself into the podcast studio for this one. But yeah, it was due to make that one, but I don't think it would have been a happy car going home with the Dundalk contingent.
I hope your boss at work's not listening in. They'd be in big trouble.
Of course they should be listening. Everyone needs to subscribe. But yeah, great start to the game for Sligo Rovers. Created multiple chances on the night. Probably should have won by more, in all honesty.
Well, yeah, Fordyce had a good chance to make it 2-0, but he shot wide. But he was under pressure from a Dundalk defender. And from the same angle, Romeo Parks could have made it 2 when he hit the post. So they definitely had the chances early on, Sligo.
Yeah, Dundalk looked very, very open at the back. Not something you'd associate with them in recent years, but Sligo were carving them open with ease at times here.
It was almost a surprise when Dundalk got back into the game, and it came from a stupid handball from McFadden.
There was no danger.
No, it's crazy,
there was
really.
There were multiple defenders around Sean Hoare that could have dealt with the set piece that Dundalk had. It was a corner kick that came in. It was a second ball. Hoare went up for it, but he was never going to score from there, and I don't think he was going to create much danger either. In fact, you'd argue the Sligo defender was probably heavy favourite to win the header, so why you go up with your hand there, I have absolutely no idea.
No. What about that penalty, though, from Hoban?
Cheeky
penalty, and yeah, he seems like a man that's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder this season.
I'd say he has a point to prove more than to say he has a chip on his shoulder. I mean, a man that scored 30 goals almost last season should be entitled to have, I suppose, a bit of a an attitude when it comes to putting away penalties like that one. But I've noticed that in the last few weeks. He does seem to be given the shush celebration to maybe towards his critics. Five goals this season, four from the penalty spot. I think it's fair to say he has not been in good form for Dundalk, but you'd imagine he has to click at some stage.
The second for Sligo eventually came from an unlikely source, big Dante Leverock, converting from a corner to make it 2-1.
Isn't it funny how football works? Dante Leverock was the man that was ridiculed.
I'm still not convinced by him, Kieran, his defending at times.
He was ridiculed after his League of Ireland debut against Dundalk up in Oregon on the opening game of the season, and he's recovered quite well since then, and he gets on the score sheet. It's almost like he's vanished the demons of that night in County Louth. So well done to him.
Fordyce header late on that brought a great save from Rogers. It could quite easily have been 3-1, and that was really that match. So a very, very deserved win for Sligo against an under par Dundalk.
Very, very poor performance from Dundalk, and we will be joined later on in the show by Dundalk fan David Lennon to discuss the season so far, the below par season so far for the champions. But we'll move on to the next one. That result in Sligo gave Shamrock Rovers the opportunity to move 13 points clear at the top of the table, and they did that with a 2-1 win against Waterford.
Yeah, and they opened the scoring. Trevor Clark pulled a ball back. He's playing well again, Trevor Clark.
Best left back in the league at the moment.
Yeah. There was rumours of him about him going over to England at one stage, wasn't there? I think Southampton looked at him.
He had his injury issues recently, and he's only coming back from that now, but once he gets a run of games under his belt, I think there'll be plenty watching how he does.
It was a nice pullback for Sean Kavanagh to open the scoring on the night, 1-0. And Clark himself should have scored to make it 2, but he put a good chance wide.
Yeah, and just going back to Kavanagh, he's a player that's captured a lot of people's imagination over the last couple of years since he's broken into that Shamrock Rovers team. So again, another one to watch there.
Rovers dominating this one and would have gone 2-up had it not been for Rory Feely clearing one off the line. As I say, Rovers dominating at this stage. Finn should have got second in the second half, but he headed straight at the keeper. Finally, that goal came from Lopez. He converted a Jack Byrne corner to make it 2, Kieran.
Great delivery from Jack Byrne.
Yeah, and he could have made it 3, Kieran. He could, almost like a replica of one of his previous goals.
That's become his trademark, hasn't
it? That curling goal into the top corner. Yeah, yeah. So, but he just went wide on that this occasion. Waterford got a consolation in the dying moments when Aaron Drynan got pulled one back after a pretty abysmal error from Lee Grace, Kieran.
Yeah, just switched off Lee Grace. He's been brilliant all season from Rovers. He's another one that's going to have plenty of people watching his performances because he's a top defender, and he proved that at his time in Galway. But I think I'm right in saying that might be the first goal Rovers have conceded from open play this season. Stephen Bradley was very, very disappointed with it when he spoke to Between the Stripes TV after the game. But a brilliant, brilliant performance from Rovers. Should have won by more. Again, you're going to be questioning, have they got that ruthlessness in front of goals to go and win a title? They're going to have to prove that at some stage, because they should be putting games like this to bed a lot earlier than they are. But overall, otherwise, a brilliant performance for Shamrock Rovers.
And they're playing some lovely stuff, Kieran,
really,
at the moment.
Really good.
Yeah, so
Jack Byrne has been central to a lot of that.
He's been a sensational signing, Kieran. Yeah. Exactly what Dundalk could maybe do with.
Dundalk brought in plenty of good midfielders themselves. Obviously, they've had injury issues, but Jack Byrne has been, without doubt, the signing of the season.
And you can
so
see
far
why he's got called up into the Ireland squad, Kieran. He's been outstanding.
Moving along, Cork City, disappointing result. 1-1 at home to 10-man St. Pat's.
Yeah, they'll be very disappointed with this one. Look, they were a bit unlucky early on, Kieran.
I thought this was one of Cork's better performances in recent weeks, and the goal to give away in the dying seconds, it's unforgivable, really, but that's just the way their season has gone so far.
Yeah, Rhys McCabe, he shot wide early on, but then after that, like I said, Cork were unlucky. They were never more unlucky when Casey and then Cummins, they both hit the post, Kieran. The thing that gave them I thought they'd go on and win this when Webster, he got sent off for a bit of an off the ball
incident. Is there a discipline issue at St. Pat's this season, John? Because obviously Kevin Toner got sent off then again on Monday night. We seen Drennan sent off a couple of weeks ago. Dave Webster, I don't know what he was thinking. It seems like he's put the knee into the back of
he's had an absolute
one of the Cork players.
Brain dead moment. Yeah. And, you know, you couldn't quite see from the camera angle, you know, as to what happened. But
it looks like he's raised his knee into the back of the Cork player. It was almost like what John Terry did against Barcelona all them years ago. That's kind of what I drew from it. But
just stupid.
There does seem to be a lack of discipline within the dressing room there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's disappointing for Pat's because they're not having a great start, despite the investment in the team. So I mean, this was a kind of match, and Harry Kenny will have earmarked this as a match they could have won.
Very much so. We'll be speaking more in depth about both Cork and St. Pat's issues later on in the show. We're going to be joined by Cork fan Tony O'Leary. Obviously, St. Pat's had that dreadful result at home on Monday night, so we'll move on to our next. Or do you want to? You need to just rush through the rest of that game, yeah, maybe first. Before we move on.
Gary Comerford, he hit the bar from long range, and Crowley should have scored a follow up, but took an age just to shoot, and by that time he got dispossessed. Cork could have killed the game off. Cummins headed wide. Comerford shot at Clark, and almost inevitably, Pat's got the equaliser at the death through Dean Clark after hesitancy in the Cork defence, Kieran.
Yeah, as I said, we have a lot to touch on both of those clubs, so we'll leave that fixture there now. We'll move along to the next one. Disappointing home result. Finn Harps going down 1-0 against an informed Bow side, it must be said.
Yeah, but Bows will be delighted where they are at this stage in the season, Kieran, and it's really a team on the up. They're getting great attendances, and the performances are matching. Kevin Devaney had a shot saved early on by Gallagher before Danny Grant opened the scoring as the Harps defence went AWOL.
Yeah, Danny Grant's one that's caught the eye too this season. Very, very quick when he gets going down the flanks. So, again, a player to watch.
Yeah, and certainly in the second half, Gallagher had to make a couple of saves from Grant to keep it down to 1-0. Dinny Corcoran hit the post before half-time. So it wasn't as if Bowes didn't have the chances to really put this one to bed. Yeah. Bit of a penalty shout. I don't know what you made of it, Kieran, for Harps, as Mikey Place got bundled over in the box.
Could
have been a pen?
Could have been given. When I watched the first time round, I said, no chance. And when you see the slowed down replay, there certainly is contact initiated by the defender, but it would have been very soft. And had Bowes not come out with the 3 points, it would have been an absolute travesty.
It certainly would, yeah. Yep. So good result for Bowes there.
Moving along, UCD, they also went down at home 2-0 to, again, another informed side. This time it's Derry City.
Yeah, and a goal in each half decided this one, Kieran. Harkin blazed over after a mistake in the UCD defence, and it was a bit of a story of the night for UCD. They looked pretty shaky in this one, Kieran. Sloggett had a header cleared off the line, but he finally headed home against his former club. I suppose it was almost inevitable that Sloggett come back to haunt
them.
Yeah,
no celebration from Sloggett.
Yeah. But great shout for UCD having a penalty. They should have had a penalty when Parkhouse inexplicably handballed in the area.
Not for me.
Really, Kieran?
It's one of them, for anyone that hasn't seen it, there's no players around him. The ball's come towards him, and he's gone to control it with his chest, and it may have just brushed his arm. But he certainly hasn't gone to do it deliberately. It would have been extremely harsh. I think if that's outside the box, you give it all day long. But inside the area, the referee, he's just a little bit of common sense, and I don't mind seeing that. For me, it's not a penalty.
Second came from Darren Cole. He made it 2 from a corner. But UCD, really poor match this one. Never looked like scoring, and to be honest, they got what they deserved.
Well, again, Colly O'Neill also spoke to Between the Stripes TV this weekend for our League of Ireland review show. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel, Between the Stripes TV, and give it a subscription. If you subscribe in the month of April, you could win a mixed crate of St. Mel's beer. But Colly O'Neill spoke to the channel after the game, and he said they played really well in patches, but they just let themselves down with those two goals. And I know one of the UCD players was on one of the other podcasts this weekend. He was saying the big difference between playing in the First Division and the Premier Division that he's noticed is mistakes are punished.
Yeah.
That was a prime example of it in this game. UCD played well in patches, let themselves down concentration-wise for two moments in the game, and a team like Derry were only too happy to punish them.
That's right. Look, we'll move on to Monday night's results, Kieran, and we're going to start with Dundalk. 1-0 victory against Bowes. They needed that one.
Yeah, so again, I was quarantined for this one. Didn't make it up to Oriel Park, but luckily enough, got to watch it online in full. I can only put it simply, Dundalk were blessed to walk away with 3 points.
Yeah, some question marks around the penalty, Kieran, as to whether it might have been outside the box.
I know you're going to give me penalties, John, but Stonewall penalty.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I didn't see the match. You saw most of it, so
I just thought that Dundalk bias claims might be coming my way.
No, not at all. Not at all. Listen, I have to say, very, very impressed with the job that Declan Devine's doing in Derry. An absolute revelation this season. And they had a great performance winning 3-1 at St. Pat's.
I'd just like to go back to Bowes, though, you cannot mention one manager without mentioning Keith Long's
job.
The job,
yeah,
he's doing, he made 7 changes on Monday night. Essentially, he put out a second string team without wanting to be disrespectful to any of the players that played on Monday night. He put out a second string team against the champions, and they were the better team for large spells and probably should have gone away with at least a point from it.
Imagine if he hadn't made those changes.
I actually had that argument with someone before the game on Twitter. At Kieran BTS is my handle for anyone who wants to give me a follow. Someone said, why would you rest players for this when you have used to be at home at Friday? It's a favourable fixture. But I said, you know, if they could get anything from this result or for this game in Oriel, they're going into a game then Friday with their best players, the likes of Denny Corcoran, Keith Warwick, etc., all rested. Imagine you get 4 to 6 points out of those fixtures. You're a genius. Mm. So as you said, why didn't he play his full strength team here? That's the joys of management. If it goes against you, you're the worst in the world. If it goes right, you're a genius. But he's got some really good young players coming through there. The difficulty, as always, for Bose will be keeping those players. But this season, top four definitely looks on the cards.
Yeah, and the rebuilding job, it seems to be every season, you know, because being the part-time setup. But he's done a brilliant job, Kieran.
Yeah. But as you said, we'll move along to that result. St. Pat's going down 3-1 at home to Derry. Speaking to Pat's fans after this, they were not impressed at all with the performance. I actually spoke to one Pat's fan who's been going for the guts of 30, 40 years, he was telling me, and he's never left early before. He left early during this game. Pat's again reduced to 10 men, I think I'm right in saying that, John?
They were already two down at that stage, to a Derry side that is completely different to what it used to be away from home. Two down goals from Patrick McLean and Gerardo Bruna. And then Kevin Toner with a red card.
He's a man we've touched on the podcast already this season, so we won't say much more. But again, discipline at St. Pat's, not good enough this season.
No, Zuckerway made it 3-0 before Gary Shaw just got a consolation at the end, Kieran.
And when you see such a consistent goalkeeper like Brendan Clark even starting to make mistakes, he was at fault for McLean's opener.
Yeah.
You really do start to ask yourself, is the confidence now that low at St. Pat's, and what can the club do to change it?
Don't know. I mean,
do you know what I'm getting at here?
I know what you're getting at. You're getting at change the manager, but it's way too early, I think, in the season to pull the plug on this one.
I'm not advocating for that. I'm just merely suggesting, is that now a very valid option that's on the table for the club?
Well, I think something has to change, and change soon. I've always been a little bit worried about that centre-back pairing, especially.
Yeah, that's definitely one area they need to address.
We know they're capable of making mistakes, and they're certainly capable of the odd booking or red card, shall we say. Mm-hmm. So that has to be fixed.
As for Derry, though, genuine top four contenders now too.
Absolutely brilliant. And you have to take your hat off to Declan Devine and what he's done there, because they're an absolute... The team last season was an absolute shadow compared with what he's got now.
Yeah, we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, Declan Devine, and we praised him to the hills because the job he's done, he's rebuilt that club from what it was last season. It was a very sad end to the Kenny Shields reign last season.
Mm.
And it's just the little touches, as we mentioned in pre-season, bringing the team around the city, showing them what it means to represent the club. This week they've brought the club legend Liam Coyle in to speak to the squad. I just love little bits like that, and he's really building an identity and a passion around that club again that everyone wants to be associated with. And they're hosting Shamrock Rovers live on the telly this Friday night. I'm sure it's going to be packed out. Should be some atmosphere. Derry City are back, and it's great to see.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll move on to the Sligo 0, Waterford 0. Bit of a bore draw, that one, Kieran.
Yeah, and interestingly, Conan Byrne pointed it out recently on his own podcast. The amount of draws has dramatically dropped in the last couple of seasons in the League of Ireland. I think it's currently sitting at about 22% of games are ending in draws, so that's good to see. We haven't seen too many scoreless draws, but if you're going to pick out any of the fixtures from the 10 fixtures over the two rounds of games, this was probably one you would have had a feeling might be low scoring.
Yeah, and so it turned out a 0-0, a bit of an after Lord Mayor's show, really, for Sligo,
well,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
UCD 2, Cork 1. Wow.
Yeah, alongside that Sligo win over Dundalk, this was probably the other big headline of the past couple of days in terms of Premier Division results. Cork leading for long, long periods, but UCD with a last-minute penalty to win the game. And it's not going well down at Turner's Cross, fair to say.
No, and it looked so promising. McLaughlin opened the scoring for Cork, but the match changed with Gary Comerford sending off. And the last 5 minutes, Cork couldn't see it out. And, you know, 5 minutes to go, Cork still winning 1-0. Somehow managed to lose it 2-1. Yo-Yo, we know how good he is on the 85th minute. And then a Gary O'Neill penalty in the last minute to pile the pressure on Caulfield.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen the footage of John Caulfield in an alleged altercation with one of his players.
I don't even know what's going on there, because the ball's looped over for a throw-in. The lad's gone across to take it, and Caulfield's just gone spare with him.
Yeah, it just seems to be a factor of things and the pressure now building and building every week on John Caulfield. And I'm not sure if he's able to go on much longer there, John.
Kieran, this is worrying times at Cork. Make no doubt about it. This is a Cork side that have been top two for the last few seasons. They've been in FAI Cup finals. They've been one of the two dominant forces in the League of Ireland over the last couple of years. And this season, I knew from the start of the season, once they said this budget would be cut, they talked about 300 grand. That's a hell of a lot of money for any League of Ireland club. They stripped the best assets off. Sadly, he was the one getting all the goals last season for Cork. With their poor start to the season, the pressure's going to be piling on there.
You took absolute pelters for suggesting they wouldn't make the top four. Where do you see them going from here?
I think they're in a relegation battle, Kieran, and I'm quite happy to say it, because they're in trouble this season.
One point clear of the bottom two.
It's you know, people are going to say it's far too early for Cork to be worried about that, but let's face it, they're down there, Kieran.
Yeah, and not playing well.
No.
Not playing well at all.
Not at all.
Look, we're going to go further into the situation of Cork City now. We're going to get lifelong Cork City fan Tony O'Leary on the line here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. So I'm delighted to say we have a fan interview once again this season. Our fan interviews are returning once again this season on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. And our first of two here on tonight's show comes from Cork. And Tony O'Leary, Cork City FC fan, joins us on the line now. Tony, you're welcome to the show.
Kieran, how are you?
So Tony, a tough time for Rebel supporters, I think it's fair to say. John Caulfield, a man under pressure?
Yeah, I'd say he's under severe pressure at the moment. Yeah, the performances just haven't been good enough. And he, you can tell that he's feeling that as well in the way he's acting, you know, especially with the incident with Gary Buckley on the sideline on Monday night.
Yeah, very bizarre. What was your take on that? For anyone that hasn't just maybe seen that online this week, there is a video you can see on a couple of Twitter pages where it appears John Caulfield shoves one of his own players mid-match against UCD. Very, very strange stuff. What was your take on it, Tony?
Yeah, well, at the game, I was on the other side of the pitch in the stand. It looked like Gary Buckley actually ran into Caulfield, but then when I watched the video back, you know, that didn't look like the case at all. It looked that if Caulfield just grabbed him and started saying stuff to him and shoving him and then pushed him back on the pitch, completely, absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, and of course we've seen the referee on the night come over and have a word to John Caulfield about his conduct, so that would suggest that it wasn't just a mere collision. But look, other issues as well that have emerged in the last couple of weeks, Liam Nash leaving the club very, very soon after arriving, it must be said. And from speaking to a couple of Cork fans as well, I know that maybe John Caulfield has been getting involved in exchange with fans after games as well. Is it just a case of things are starting to build up now against the Cork manager?
Yeah, well, the Liam Nash one was bizarre. It took me by surprise. And, you know, he wouldn't have been the first player that, you know, that Caulfield would have had if he did have a falling out with. You know, that seems too common nowadays, that Caulfield is just having falling outs with players. But yeah, he has been, you know, having altercations with fans, really. You know, every time someone kind of says to him, you know, or boos the team, he looks into the crowd, you know, shocked and bewildered, and tries to spot out who's booing. You know, really bizarre behaviour.
Do you think there's a bit of barriers up on the basis that he probably feels like he's in a tricky position, and that he's had to get rid of top earners at the club? You know, that was widely talked about, this 300,000 cut in expenditure at the close season. So, you know, do you think there's a bit of that?
I think he's in the AGM at the start of the season. I think the AGM was in January. He was saying he spoke for a long time, and he was explaining, you know, to fans, basically trying to cover himself, that this season won't be as strong as previous seasons, which we all expected with the budget cuts and stuff. But the fact that we don't mind it being not as strong, and, you know, where we are in the league, but, you know, if we were actually playing good football and had a bit of fight between us and looked like we were going in the right direction on the pitch, I don't think the fans would be on his back as much as they are. But the performances have just been awful, and there's no direction, there's no, you know, there doesn't look like there's any tactics or any coaching going into the team at all.
Yeah, and it's something I actually raised in the pre-season shows, Tony, the fact that John Caulfield appear to be looking to bring in young technical footballers into the club. And Darragh O'Connor is obviously the prime example of that, a player that is fantastic with the ball at his feet and in a good passing team. But it was always obvious that John Caulfield was never going to change his style of play. So why did he elect to bring in those kind of players instead of maybe bringing in a more solid player that might prefer a more direct style of play? As you said, you're not going to get the results they've been getting in the last couple of years, but they at least would be competitive and consistent every week with that style of play. Whereas he's brought in these young players that clearly don't suit this system, and that's why they are where they are in the table, 1 point clear of the bottom two. Surely that's not acceptable for a club like Cork, even with the budget cuts.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. Like, you'd expect any Cork side to be up for every game, putting in really, really hard to beat, putting in a shift, but they're not doing that. We're easy to beat. We're not up for each game. And I just want to get back to the style of play. In pre-season, he was actually playing a 3-5-2 formation. And all of a sudden, first game of the season, away to Pats, he lines up 4-5-1 or 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it. You know, I couldn't understand that, why he's, all the pre-season games, he's been playing 3-5-2. And then all of a sudden, when the league starts, oh, I'll just switch to what I know because it's good and safe. It didn't make sense to me.
And obviously now, Tony, it looks like John suggested it at the very start of the season here, and he took a lot of flack for it, that a top four place could even be in question for Cork this season, and people call that ridiculous. But the way it's looking at the moment, that could be the case. If Cork City were to fall outside of the European place this season, how much of a financial implication is that going to have for the club going forward?
Yeah, well, I had us down as fourth this season, but to be honest, I can't. At the way it's going this at the moment, I can't see us getting top four. I can't even see us getting this top half. And, you know, the financial implications would be huge, because we were in Europe last season and we still had a 300 grand budget cut at the start of the season, as you said. So if we don't make Europe this season, you know, there'll even be more of a budget cut towards coming at the start of the 2020 season, which, you know, we won't be. We'll be lucky to probably fight in relegation.
That's exactly where my next point was going to be, Tony. I don't know about the top four, but I was dreading dropping the R word into the conversation, because you know, from where it looks at the moment, it could, you know, there's a possibility, playoffs at least.
Yeah, well, the reality is we're a point above the playoff place, and we are in a battle for it now, because I think we've lost, is it five on the trot, four or five on the trot, and we have huge games coming up in the next few weeks against teams that you consider to be on the same level of us as us. And if we don't beat them, you know, you could say definitely, yeah, we're in big trouble.
I think the match this weekend is going to be critical, because I haven't been too impressed with Waterford this season, but, you know, I think if Waterford got a win or a draw from this match, then there'd be some serious alarm bells sounding down in Cork.
Well, Waterford beat us in Cork 2-1 back in February, so they could easily beat us again. And it's a Munster derby; they're going to be really up for it. I don't know about our lads, because recently against teams who you'd expect them to be up for it, such as Rovers and Dundalk, they've just, you know, stepped aside and didn't even bother showing up.
Yeah, I'm glad you've raised that point, Tony, because that was going to be my next point. I'm in a lot of the fan groups at the moment, and the Waterford fans seem really, really up for this game. For a number of weeks, they've been speaking about this game, but this week now, the activity online has been huge. They're really up for this one. And I look at their team and think, yeah, they've been up for this fixture in the last couple of years, the players as a group. Where I'm looking at Cork, do they have the same desire to go and win this Munster derby as their Waterford counterparts? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, well, I was at the game last year in Waterford back in August when we won 2-1. We came from a goal down, and the players that were battling that day, Stephen Beattie stood out for me. Now, Stephen Beattie's not with the club anymore, and I think he's been a huge loss, not only in the dressing room, but for the passion on the pitch as well, because there doesn't seem to be a player that has the passion. Conor McCormack was captain last season. He's not captain this season. Gary Buckley wore the armband on Monday night. I think someone else has been wearing it previous to him. So there's no kind of standout leaders on the pitch unless Alan Bennett is playing. Now, you'd look at Mark McNulty. He's been at the club since 2002, I think, and he's making horrible mistakes. He's not even stepping up to be a leader either. So I don't see us standing up against Waterford at all.
And finally, Tony, is this situation with John Caulfield and his future at the club, is it causing a rift between the fans?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's a toxic atmosphere in the stands, and last Friday night against Pats, it was 1-0, and then Pats equalised late on, and there was boos even for a draw. So the fans aren't happy with the results going. They're booing the performances, not the results. And even on Monday night, you know, there was a lot of fans were blaming the referee for the defeat. But you know, when you're blaming the referee for defeats, you know you're in big trouble.
And do you think there's an appetite for change in terms of the management there? Can you envisage something happening in the near future if results don't turn?
I think he has to go. I wanted him. I thought he should have stepped aside at the end of last season. But he doesn't appear to want to step aside. But you know, I think that whole backroom team has to go. I think a new fresh face has to come in. My candidate would be, actually, you won't like this, but it'd be Neil Fenn. He plays football. He's a former City player. The fans want to see football being played, or a bit of direction, and at the moment it's not happening.
Tony, well, you're damn right. I don't like that suggestion.
Tony, I'm delighted to inform you he doesn't have a pro license, so that would not be a possibility at this moment in time. But he is on the course. So, and I know you're not the only one that has said that to me. A lot of Cork City fans have put his name forward in the last 12 months, I would say. So maybe in a long term point of view, he could be a candidate for that job.
Could see that happening at the end of the season.
But at the moment, no, it's not a possibility. So Tony, we'll leave it on that point. Been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much for your honest analysis on Cork City. And look, hopefully we'll see a turnaround there in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. All the best.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So, on to our favourite division, John, the first division, and we'll start with the result of the weekend in the second tier. Longford Town, very, very comfortable. 2-0 winners at home to Bray Wanderers.
Well, Kieran, if ever a scoreline didn't reflect the game, this was it, because this was dominance from Longford from the start to the end. And it was very, very solid performance from Longford, and at no stage did they ever look in trouble.
Well, you know me, I'm very well known for writing teams off before you know a ball has been kicked, but I will happily come on air now and say Bray Wanderers will be absolutely nowhere near the title this season. I'd be very surprised if they're anywhere near promotion at this case, because their performance the other night was a disgrace.
It's a bit harsh, Kieran.
There was several passengers in the team, John. There's one thing going out and been outplayed by a better team, and there's no doubt it was Longford's best performance of the season and they fully deserved it. But there was three or four players in that Bray team that didn't lift a finger all night.
And I think you could see the frustration on the likes of Keegan's face, who did put a shift in.
Yeah, he put in a major shift. You could see the frustration building it. There was no direction to their play all night. They played extremely direct. They didn't seem to have anyone that was able to hold the ball up. No big target man. We all know about the big signers they brought in, the likes of Dylan McGlade. He was one of the passengers on the night. He barely had a touch of the ball all night. No tracking back from several of their attacking players. He was probably the most guilty of that. And Longford had an absolute field day. So it's up to, and I was shocked that Dylan McGlade remained on the pitch throughout the game. For me, Gary Cronin, it's his first job. It's a big job. The pressure's on. He's been given investment to go and spend, and he's expected to challenge for promotion at the very least. If he doesn't have the character to take players off, no matter how big of a name they are, when they're underperforming like they did the other night, that team, it's only going one way and it's not up.
Listen, I think you might be doing a little disservice, because McGlade got no support. He got no ball to him, and the balls he did, anything he got to him, Longford had him snuffed out.
Longford had most of the ball on the night, John, and we'd probably assume that would be the case given the style of play they play.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do to go and counteract that? You go and press them, you get in their face, and you try and create issues for Longford. Dylan McGlade and others, and not just him, I'm not just picking him out, several players in the Bray team, they just stood out on the sideline, waited for their teammates to get the ball, and then the only work they wanted to do was when the ball was at their feet. That is not going to work for a team that wants to be promoted out of this extremely competitive first division.
And I think you probably hit the nail on the head in that Gary now has to make some difficult decisions, because, you know, he had a number of his players, like you said, that were passengers in this match.
Passengers.
And, you know, he's going to have to make some big calls. But let's take nothing away from Longford, who were excellent on the night, Kieran.
Excellent. Best performance of the season by a country
That's
mile.
As good as I can remember ever seeing him play.
The one thing you'd have to say again, they're not taking their chances, and they're probably not creating just as many chances as you would like, despite their dominance in games. Now, I did raise the point with Ed Dervin after the game when I spoke to him for Between the Stripes TV, but that Longford, maybe they're a team that don't need to always go and get that extra goal to kill a result, because of the way they play, they're so good in possession of the football that they can kill a game off in different ways by simply keeping the ball. Maybe they can do that, but they are lacking that 10, 15, 20 goal striker. That's definitely one thing you can say about this Longford team.
Yeah, and I think Neil's hope is with Dobbs. We know he likes him.
Yeah, Dobbs missed out the other night through injury. So
yeah, and I think when we get Dobbs back, they do look a centre forward short, I have to say. But you know, they're able to adapt and play Verdon up front, and
at the back they are solid as a rock. That partnership now between Conor Kenner and Mick McDonald, you're going to find it very hard to find a better partnership at the First Division.
Kieran, let's talk about the goals, because the first one came from a player you mentioned there, Mick McDonald, who rose at a corner kick. He seemed to have acres of space.
The ball ended up inside the 6-yard box. Gabriel Sava, who again on the night, he was awful, his kicking, his catching, everything. He was a mile off the pace on the night. He doesn't go and challenge for a ball inside his own 6-yard box. He's the goalkeeper. That's his space. He's there to command it. Didn't do it. Very, very easy goal for Mick McDonald.
Yeah, and it was Peter Hopkins who's found the net a few times this season. He got the second.
I think that's his third in a row now, and it was a superb through ball from the man of the match on the night, Ed Dervin.
How are Longford going to hold on to Ed Dervin? Because he seems to be going under the radar.
Why is he not in the underage international teams?
Nobody's
even been coming out, as far as we know, to have a look at him.
Yeah.
He's sensational.
He is.
For his age.
Outstanding, yeah.
The way he's going out and dominating experienced players in this First Division.
Yeah.
It's incredible what he's doing at his young age.
I mean, Keegan, I thought, had a decent game, but he'd run rings around the midfield.
It's just the energy and the desire he brings to that Longford midfield. It does give them something different to other teams in the First Division.
Yeah, but like I say, with the ongoing success, is the worry that there'll be more scouts down at the City Club looking at these players.
That's something I think the club would nearly welcome, because they've brought this player up, they've given him the stage, he's performing. If an English club or a foreign club wants to come in and give big money for a young player, that's nearly what the club is there to do, in all honesty. But look, we'll move on. It was, as we said, a great performance from Longford, and they'll be looking to follow it up undefeated so far this season when they travel to Cove at the weekend. As for Bray, miles off the pace, a big improvement to do in their next game. Drogheda United 0, Shelburne 0. Both teams, they're stuttering, to be fair, to start the season.
Yeah,
John.
And we expected a lot more from Shells, I think, is fair to say, Kieran. I think we all knew that Drogheda might have a bit of rebuilding to do, but Shells continue to struggle in this division.
Yeah, both teams struggling to score goals, and I suppose from a Drogheda point of view, they don't have really a recognised striker you'd look at there, but Shells have killed off, and he started the season on fire, but he's not been created the chances. I think that's the big problem there at Shelburne.
Yeah, and again, that's another club where you think that results need to turn around pretty quick.
Yeah, definitely.
Look, one man that could do with up front is this lad Manley at Cabin Teely. Another two goals to add to his impressive tally.
The find of the season, this young man.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He did not have a club before the season started. He got in there basically through a phone call to their manager, Pat Devlin, from his college coach. It's amazing the way these things happen in football, but he's been a huge part of Cabin Teely's rise to the top so far this season.
Is he 9 for the season now, Kieran? It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, you're talking about Longford there, who's top of the league. Peter Hopkins is top scorer with 4, I think.
Yeah.
So it just shows how well this lad's doing. He got 2 of the goals, including the winner against Athlone. Done with the goal for Athlone, and Keelan Dillon with the equalisers, make it 2-2 in the 70th.
Again, another promising showing from Athlone, just falling short of the result. But John, we have to speak about it again this week, because it was raised on Between the Stripes TV by the Athlone town manager, Terry Butler, so we would be doing him a disservice by not mentioning it. The pitch.
Well, look, it's a rugby pitch, Kieran. And
a bad rugby pitch.
Yeah, I mean, look, I suppose the best thing I can say about it is both teams have to play on it.
Athlone, they play on a 4G pitch at home. They're used to playing a certain style of football. Obviously, they're not always going to get that their own way when they travel away from home. But surely now we're looking at a situation where there has to be some type of standard.
Yeah, of course.
Because I'm sure you've seen the photos that were uploaded.
I have, yeah. And it's been like that. To be fair, it's been like that every game this season at Cavintilly. And
has it played a part in Cavintilly's rise to the top of the First Division this season? Obviously, they're not top now as we speak. Longford won their game against Bray and went top. But before that, Cavintilly, for the first time in their history, we have to give them credit on that.
Yeah.
They've gone top of the First Division. It's good to see the club progressing. But is this acceptable?
No, it's not, Kieran. No, it's not. I mean, I think as League of Ireland clubs, we have to have a certain standard going with the pitches. And, you know, a rugby pitch is not conducive to playing football on it.
We should point out, as I'm sure you've seen the article I wrote yesterday for BetweenTheStripes.ie, and I'd love our listeners to take a look at it and give us our feedback on it. And do you feel that clubs should be punished, or is that unfair in this situation where Cavintilly do not own that pitch? They're merely tenants.
This is the tricky part about it, you know, because you're punishing a club that, you know, let's face it, there's not much money there, Kieran, and they're doing well to actually have a League of Ireland team.
And they do have
place.
A plan, long-term plan, to move to their own ground, which is obviously the goal. But in the meantime, is it acceptable that teams are travelling distances to go and play, and then this is what they've been presented with?
There has to be grants and things for pitch and stuff like that. This has got to be...
You can't expect, at the same time again, though, you can't expect a club to get a grant and put it into something they don't own.
No, this is...
That's going to be torn up by a rugby team. So it's a very, very difficult situation, but surely there's some type of middle ground that can be found.
I think so, yeah.
Moving along, another hugely disappointing night for Galway. They now sit bottom of the First Division. I don't think anybody's seen that coming this season.
Well,
they went down 2-1 to Cove.
I think I was quite vocal about their Project DNA at the start of the season, and it's turned into nonsense, which is exactly what I thought it would do. They're only, you know, they have Vinnie Fartick, they have a goal scorer, but apart from that, there's not a right lot else to write home about.
As for Cove, a great result on the road.
Yeah, and they have a man in form, a striker in form. It's like Cabea, another goal, and it was an own goal from Galway on the night, which sunk them. But this lad's going to have to keep an eye on him as Longford Town players at the weekend.
Yeah, speaking to Neil Fenn after the game, he certainly highlighted Cabea and the danger he'll pose at the weekend. Is he one the Cove may struggle to keep a hold of?
Oh, I think so, yeah. You can see their neighbours having a look at him anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah, good point. Moving along, Limerick, they'll be disappointed not to have taken all 3 points as they hosted Wexford FC, a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, well, Wexford could have had all three here because they opened the scoring with from Nugent, but it was a second half equaliser that saved Limerick's blushes through Drew Murphy. 1-1, Wexford... Signs of improvement.
Yeah,
week
definitely
in, week out.
In the last couple of weeks, really, really good to see. And as I said, there is now a battle for that wooden spoon position because Galway, they sit bottom.
Yeah, and I think we did say Wexford would be down there at the bottom, but Galway have been
a bit of a split start and open up in the division between the top five and the bottom five.
Mm.
I think it's fair to say Athlone and Cove, they sit on 9 points.
Yeah.
If they could get a win in their next game, they would be back in that promotion picture. But if they were to lose their next game, you're looking at them being cut adrift. So crucial couple of games coming up now for the clubs in that bottom half.
Yeah, and I think I've said it before, it's very, very difficult to turn Athlone round in a season. But don't get me wrong, he's done a magnificent job as Terry Butler. But to turn them from complete no-hopers to anything threatening the playoffs is quite miraculous in my ideas.
So we'll move along, John. It's time for the St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. Make sure you follow our sponsors St. Mel's on Twitter, on Facebook, and their website is stmelsbrewing.com. And as I said earlier in the show, if you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review, you'll be entered into a draw for a mixed crate of St. Mel's beer. You can also enter that competition by subscribing to our YouTube channel. We'll start with the First Division games this weekend, John, and Shelburne versus Limerick. I'll just point our listeners in the direction of that fixture first, because Between the Stripes Match Day Live will be doing live and exclusive match commentary from Talca Park for this fixture. Myself and James Donnelly will be commentating from 7:40 with kickoff at 7:45 on Mixlr.com. That's MIXLR.com/Between the Stripes. So please do share that link with any overseas listeners you're aware of or any Limerick fans unable to attend the game.
And I have to say, well worth a listen, because yourself and James did a fantastic job from Bowes the other week.
Yeah, so delighted to be back doing the live commentary after being away last week. But look, let's get down to the predictions. Big pressure on Shells to get winning again. Limerick are in great form. How do you see this one going?
I have to say, Kieran, this week there are some really, really tough matches to call. Some really tough ones. I spent quite a long time going through these ones. I certainly won't be worrying the bookies anyway, that's for sure. Shells Limerick, I eventually plump for a home win. But I can't get too convinced by it.
Yeah, Shell's, as we said, struggling to score in the last couple of weeks. And Limerick, I've pointed it out a few times on the show this season, they're a very, very physical side. Now, Shells are no pushovers themselves, so I can see this being a real battle of attrition. And that's simply why I've gone for a draw this week. But Shells are at home, so you'd probably give them the slight edge. But I'm going for a draw. You've gone for Shells win.
Yeah.
Bray against Strahada. This is a big game for both sides.
I think the only thing I came up with this one is Bray were that bad last week. They'll have to bounce back. You know, they can't give another awful performance like they did last weekend. And I know they weren't allowed to really play last weekend because Longford really snapped at them. But, you know, I just think they're going to bounce back. I'm not so sure Drogheda have enough. Mm. I'm going to go for a home win on this one, Kieran.
It's very, very rare I ever go for a spate of draws in my predictions, but I'm going for a draw on this one. I would agree to a certain sense with you that Bray were so poor last week, they'll have to respond. But you know, I raised it in the lead up to that Longford game. I'd been speaking to fans that had gone and watched Bray this season, and they weren't impressed with them all season long. Yeah. So we haven't seen that bounce back ability from Bray. And as I said, I was so surprised with the substitutions that were made the other night that certain players were left on, and other ones that seemed to be working that bit harder were taken off. So I have questions about the dynamics there at Bray. Drogheda are struggling to score goals themselves, but they'll be a stubborn opponent. I see this one ending in a draw.
Okay, Kieran.
I skipped over this one, John, and it's actually a big game for Athlone. They're hosting Galway, who are bottom, so it's a big chance for Athlone to catapult themselves back into that playoff picture.
I just think Athlone might have a bit too much for Galway, because I look at that Galway lineup and there's just a lack of quality for me.
Yeah.
Whereas in that Athlone lineup, okay, there's a few unknown players, but there's a few heads that we know of. They've had seasons in the League of Ireland. They know what it's about.
And they'll definitely be pinpointing this game with Galway at bottom. They'll be looking at this one and saying, we're going to go out, we're going to attack them, we're going to get our 3 points.
And 3 points it will be for Athlone.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you on that one, John. Moving along, Wexford host Cabinteely.
Tricky one, this one, because Wexford's
big improvement.
But I still think Cabinteely seem to be better away from home than they are at home, which is strange when you think about the pitch and the
I just
likes.
Think, as I said on last week's show, that has a big more to do with their style of play. Yeah. Cabinteely are very, very direct when they play at home, which isn't always the case. Obviously, you see some sides play maybe a more expansive style at home, and then when they go away, they'll set up a bit more solid and play that direct style. But Cabinteely, they play the same style of football at home as they do away. So they don't really find it an issue going to difficult grounds like this, like Wexford. So for me, Cabinteely will just have enough to sneak this one.
Away win as well, Kieran.
Okay. And finally, on the Saturday, we're on this one. We're taking off all media duties this weekend. We're just going on a good old-fashioned tear-up.
Jolly boys day out to the seaside.
Cove hosting Longford Town.
And the weather's going to be great, Kieran.
Yeah. I'm just hoping I can kick this virus now.
I'm packing the bucket and spade, wearing the shorts. I might bring the cooler for the picnic at the beach.
The picnic, yes.
I'm not going to fill it up with anything else, I'm sure.
But will we be going home happy is the question?
Well, this could be a stumbling block because we know Cove are pretty good at home and they've a man on serious form in Kabaya up front. Longford, I have to say, I've been as impressed as I've ever been with Longford. Yeah. And Fenn just seems to have them really well set up and everybody knows what their job is and the shape looks excellent. So I'm going to go for a Longford win. But then again, how many times have we gone down to Cove and see them?
Yeah, Neil Fenn pointed that out himself to me after the game the other night. Longford's record in Cove has not been great in the last couple of years. Cove knocked them out of the EA Sports Cup last season. Longford did get a win down there last season in the league in the days leading up to that League Cup tie, actually. Sam Burden got the goal that day in a 1-0 win. The pitch down in Cove can be unsuitable at times for a Longford style of play, shall we say. It's a tight pitch. It's a difficult place to go. And as we said, Longford haven't really established that out-and-out goal scorer yet this season. I do think they'll just have enough to nick this one, but if there's going to be a banana skin in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be this fixture for Longford.
Yeah, I agree, but I think Longford will win it, Kieran.
Okay, moving along to the Premier Division, Bohemians hosting UCD, and tickets again are flying out for this one.
Do you know, it's been great to see, and you just wish that Bohs had a bigger capacity. Mm. There has to be something that can be done daily out there, temporary standing or something.
Yeah, well, we have plenty of Bohs listeners to this show, we know that for certain, so drop us a tweet, Bohs fans, at Between Stripes is the Twitter handle. Let us know your views on the capacity issue. Is it a good thing that Bohs are selling out every week? Is it that hipster thing of people wanting to get tickets for something they can't get to? Or do you agree with John that it's a shame that more people can't get to the games? But from a solely result point of view, John, how do you see this one going?
Well, Bowser have been really a surprise package this season, if you think about it, because, you know, we certainly had pundits predicting them to be relegated.
Fabio.
Whereas UCD, I have to say, they seem to be so up and down. I wasn't impressed with them last weekend, Kieran. They were very disappointing, and I think Bowes will win this one.
Yeah, UCD are in a good run of form, it must be said. That win against Cork the other night.
Yeah, there was that.
That should give them a huge boost.
But they were poor at home to Derry, Kieran. They didn't offer much that game.
It's a tough one to call. I'm just going to go with Bowes merely on home form. But I think this will be a lot tighter than you think. I think this could be a high score and entertaining game.
Right, okie doke. Where are we going next, Kieran?
We are going to the live game, Derry City versus Shamrock Rovers. Mouthwatering.
This is an awful one to call, Kieran, because both teams are in great form. And, you know, like I say, Derry, Devine's done a fantastic job there. They're a completely different proposition to what they were in the past. Whereas Rovers, you know, there's goals all over the midfield, and at the moment they look unbeatable. Oh, I'm going to get you to call this one first.
That's usually my little trick, throwing it to you first, but you got in there first, so I'll roll with it. As you said, Derry have been brilliant this season, particularly at home, and it should be a fantastic atmosphere up in the Brandywell on Friday night. But in these bigger fixtures this season, they've just seemed to almost reach a limit in terms of where Derry are going to be. I don't think anyone is imagining they can be anything like title challengers. They're certainly looking to be in that top four mix, but Shamrock Rovers, their eyes are well and truly set on the title this season. I think Rovers will just have that little bit too much quality in the midfield. The big open playing surface of Brandywell should suit them. I think Rovers nick this one, but again, could be a high score and entertaining
fixture. If Rovers go to Derry and win that, Kieran, that's title winning type of form. Yeah.
That's what they need to do. That's what they need to do if they want to be champions. So I'm backing Rovers.
Oh yeah. Right, I've got that down as an away win as well. I'm going with Rovers.
There we go.
I just think they're too much quality, and they're playing so well at the moment. You know, I think they're going to win.
That means they're definitely not going to win, and we've both gone for them.
Well, we went for 10 homes the other week, Kieran. How did that end up?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
I think people are sick of hearing about that now.
Yeah.
St. Pat's against Sligo, two under fire managers, I think it's fair to say. Although Sligo in the last couple of weeks, they've steadied the ship with that win against Dundalk and that draw the other night.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were very good against Dundalk, I have to say. This one, they're away to St. Pat's.
Big pressure on Harry Kenny here. Again,
yeah.
Disappointing home result the other night. They're back in front of their own fans here. They're going to be looking for a reaction. Will they get it?
I think they will in this one, Kieran. I've gone for a home win.
Home win, okay. Again, not too often I go for the draws, but Pats are just not clicking at the moment. Sligo, as disappointing as they've been overall in the league, they have been a stubborn opponent to break down for a lot of sides. We've seen that on the opening night when they went to Oriel and got a result. Held Waterford at home the other night too. I think they'll get a draw.
Okay, fair enough.
Waterford against Cork City. They don't get much bigger than this for John Caulfield.
Yeah, and this is another horrible one to call. I mean, Cork are struggling a bit. Waterford haven't pulled up any trees. Kieran.
You can't pull that trick twice, John.
I'm going to have to.
Again, I'm going for a draw. Waterford, inconsistent this season. Definitely not the same quality in their squad that they had last year. As for Cork, they have been shambolic so far this season. I think this could be I think this could be a bit of a battle, John, and I don't think either side will come out with the full points.
Yeah, I've gone for a draw. I just can't pick it, to be honest. I cannot pick that match. It's a real tough one.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see the outcome either way, because there'll be big headlines if Cork are to lose.
I can pick the next one.
Dundalk against Harps, our final fixture, and then you will hear from Dundalk fan David Lennon in our final interview before we go tonight. John?
I'm struggling to give any excitement about Harps this season, Kieran. I think this should be a straightforward home win for Dundalk. And, you know, this might be the match that really gets Dundalk back on track. You know, if they can give Harps a bit of a hammering and, you know, there's a few goals for Pat Hoban. Then,
yeah, I don't need to break this one down bit by bit. It's going to be a home win for me. Question is, are Harps any chance of staying up this season, John?
I don't think so. I think they're in awful trouble as it is. They're 8 points off safety already?
I'd have to double check that one. Don't have the table in front of me at the moment, but they are in danger of being cut adrift for sure.
Yeah.
And I was just watching the highlights of tonight, and I know you've been very critical of Ollie Horgan on the show for his discipline and his players' discipline, but I was sitting there thinking, if you take Ollie Horgan out of the equation, bring in a new manager, are you really going to see much of improvement with the players they have there? I don't think so.
No.
I think he is probably the best man to try and dig them out of this situation, but there's only so many rabbits you can pull out of a hat.
But they've some good players, Kieran. We've seen them last season, and we thought they recruited quite well at the start of the season.
Teams they're battling against have some good players too.
Yeah,
I think if you look at them as opposed to UCD, the other side that came up, it's night and day. UCD just have far more quality. They've already established their potential to go and beat some of the bigger sides in the division already this season. Whereas Finn Harps, you're just looking, where are they going to get the points from? It's not going to be from Oriel Park, that's for certain. Yeah. No matter how much Dundalk
struggling. Still think they're lacking a goal scorer.
Finn Harps?
Yeah.
But again, look, that's down to resources and who you can afford to bring in.
Yeah.
I mean, even some of the bigger squads are struggling to find that out-and-out striker. It's just a position that is very, very hard to find. And when you do find a player that fills that role, you're going to pay the big bucks from it. Finn Harps don't have that.
No.
So a Dundalk win for both of us. We'll go to our final interview of the night. Dundalk fan David Lennon joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. So I'm delighted to say we have Dundalk FC fan David Lennon joining us once again this season on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. David, you're welcome back to the show.
Well, Kieran, how are you?
Not too bad, David. David, I'm going to pass this one over to John Breyer to start with because I know he's been very, very eager to speak to a Dundalk fan for quite a while on the show. John, you have reservations about the setup at Dundalk this season?
Well, look, they're 10 points behind Rovers. Okay, they might have a game or two in hand, but from my point of view, this is a team that's dominated the league the last few seasons and it's not happening at the moment. So it's not looking good on the management level, is it? What's going wrong there then?
Yeah, I can't blame really the management structure to a point. I think the team has been playing reasonably well. Okay, they're not maybe as potent as they were or on, you know, fine a fettle as they were towards the end of last season. I think it's still very early days. Don't forget that Vinny, you know, has only been at the helm, shall we say, for 10 games. So you have to be a little bit lenient with him, I suppose, for the want of a better phrase. I think continuity was pivotal going forward. And the fact that we have that now with most of the squad remaining the same is going to stand to us as the season progresses. In terms of results, yes, of course, they haven't been good enough. Obviously, losing to St. Pat's and then to Sligo haven't been ideal. However, both of them are away from home. Both of them are notoriously difficult venues to go to at the best of times. So while we may not have played to our best and the better teams won on the night, it's still only 2 defeats out of 10. And you have to look at the positives in a sense that, okay, Shamrock Rovers are doing incredibly well at the minute. You know, only lost one and Braun won and won 9. You know, that is the benchmark for the current season. And there is no better squad, I believe, in the league able to turn around a 7-point, hopefully 7-point deficit when Dundalk plays their game in hand, and hopefully at least challenge it and make it much tighter than what it is currently at the minute. But I still believe.
Do you think there's a bit of confusion, shall I say, in the dressing room? I mean, the team that's been playing this season, obviously, Stephen Kenny's not in charge now, but even though it's a very similar team, it doesn't look like the team from last season that's going out there. And, you know, we see John Gill heading up things, but, you know, Vinnie Perth in the background, and now he's coming forth a bit. I can't see how that's helping.
At the beginning, I did feel that way too. It's a very different atmosphere around Oriel at the moment. I won't necessarily say it's a bad atmosphere. I think it's just different than what we've been used to over the last number of seasons. Obviously, Kenny and Vinny have been the dynamic duo, so to speak. And to compensate for losing Kenny, you know, somebody had to come in because ultimately you needed to keep Finney for continuity, and then you needed somebody who will be able to work with Finney to do the to have the badges and all that. But yes, it took time. I think it's starting to come together in a sense that at the beginning it did look a little bit like they were disjointed and they didn't know who to take orders from and they didn't know who was in charge. But I think over the last couple of weeks, Vinny has come more out to the forefront and seems to be showing that he's the man in charge. And I think that there's nothing really to worry about, I don't feel, at the moment anyway.
David, I know you're a regular listener to the show, and you probably would have heard early on in the season, me and John had this debate among ourselves, and John has been probably, I'd say, to be fair, John, you've been strongly opposed to the setup from day one, mm-hmm. whereas I would share very similar views to David. And David, I was at the opening 3-4 Dundalk games this season, and I said on the show that I had no concerns about Dundalk's title defence this season, that they were playing good football, but they just weren't taking the chances. But in the last couple of weeks, obviously, we've seen them two very negative results against Sligo and St. Pat's, and even the game the other night against Bohemians, I think any Dundalk fan would agree they were blessed to win that game. So are you concerned now that early on in the season, the performances were there, the results weren't, but now you're starting to maybe say performances aren't there, but they're just starting to scrape the results? Would that be a fair assessment, or?
No, actually, I'm one of those. The game on Monday was an interesting one because everyone was complimenting how brilliant Bowes played, and they played incredibly well. I think Dundalk probably played a level or two beneath us, or beneath ourselves. But I think, like, they created very little in terms of goal scoring opportunity. I very rarely remember Gary Rogers having to do anything dramatic. While we weren't exactly sharp in the final third, I actually think that the team that deserved to win won. And while it was a last gasp and it was cruel on Bowes, I do believe that it was probably the right result. And you have to grind them out over the season, you know. That's one of the major characteristics that Stephen Kenny had brought into Oriel. And yeah, I mean, it could have went nil all, and that really would have been not good in terms of the league table and the points, and letting Shamrock Rovers, you know, just get that little extra bit of belief. But I think the last minute penalty really sent a strong message to Tala that, you know, we're not going to give up without a fight.
We're shaking our heads here, John. We're definitely not in agreement.
Well, I'm just going back to that performance up in Sligo, and that would have never happened under Stephen Kenny, as far as I'm concerned. They were, you know, Sligo were full value for that win.
Mm. But just one thing I picked up from the game the other night, David, you get your view on it. And I've noticed a little bit of times with Dundalk this season, there does seem to be a more direct approach about this team under Vinnie Parth. At times they do seem more inclined to go long, as opposed to under Stephen Kenny's days, where the ball was almost had to stay on the deck. But we are seeing Dundalk now, when required, go that little bit more direct. Is that something you've noticed?
Yeah, it's something that has been very noticeable, and also the change in formation the other night was very noticeable as well, playing three at the back. I think overall, I mean, they're different managers, you know. Stephen Kenny's not there anymore, so we can't compare like with like anymore. So we have to try and maintain a level that we were at without dramatically imploding, which I don't believe that we are. I do think you're going to have blips. I mean, going to the showgrounds any year, if you look at the games over the last couple of seasons particularly, you know, Dundalk have been fortunate on many occasions to come out with a victory over there. So I don't really, you know, I don't begrudge Sligo their win, and I don't begrudge Pats their win either on the night. But to say that we're not firing on all cylinders would be correct, but I don't think we're genuinely far off. I think eventually it will click. We'll play a team and in my opinion, hammer them. And that will kickstart everything again. I don't feel genuinely worried yet.
Yeah, and that is something we've said here on the show, that there could be a big hammering coming for somebody soon. The other night there was quite an interesting take on their team selection. Dame Massey, Brian Gartland, left out. But one man that remains in the team throughout is Pat Holman. I know a lot of Dundalk fans have been calling for Georgie Kelly to get some more game time. What's your thoughts on that, David?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see a little bit more of Georgie myself. Obviously, he was prolific last year with UCD, and he deserves his crack. You have to think. You know, Vinny obviously sees them every day in training, and Pat obviously provides a role gives Vinny what he needs in terms of holding up the ball and just that bit of, he knows what he's getting from him. Maybe there's an element just because of Kelly's age and his experience that there might be just that little bit of inconsistency. And of course, that will only come with games and experience and all that. But I think with it being the beginning of his managerial career, and the eyes on Dundalk as double champions and all this sort of stuff, he has to go with the tried and tested, I think, at least until he gets his feet under the table and finds a settled formation that works all round.
We've gone over time, David, so final question for tonight in one word. Is the title still possible for Dundalk this season?
Absolutely. And you have to believe it. You have to believe it, because otherwise, what's the point? Going to the game the other night, I was thinking the atmosphere would be quite flat. It would have been a Monday night. But I think the next fortnight is critical. Obviously, you have Finn Harps, you have UCD, you have Shamrock Rovers, and you have Waterford away. I mean, there's four games that if you win them all of a sudden Dundalk are right back in the mix, and this conversation will be like never happened.
David, brilliant analysis on Dundalk as always. Thanks very much for joining us on the show, and we will speak to you again soon.
No problem. Thanks, John. Thanks, Kieran.
Thanks, David.
So John has stepped out with the recording room for fear of catching some sort of flesh-eating virus off me. I really am under the weather tonight, as you can probably hear by my voice. But that brings us to the end of another edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We've gone for well over an hour and 20 minutes tonight, a real bumper edition. Three absolutely fantastic guests, brilliant interviews, some real talking points touched there tonight throughout the show. So thanks to everyone that's tuned in. We were delighted, myself and John, during the Longford break and the other night, to be approached by a Brave fan who simply just heard John's accent and put two and two together and realised who we were and came over and said he's a massive fan of the show and gave us the donation as well, which was really, really just fantastic. And that's something that's been happening at League of Ireland grounds up and down the country in the last couple of months. We really have been blown back by the support, and we've seen a huge increase in listenership this season. So to each and every one of you that are tuning in every week, thanks so much. It means the world to us. So please give tonight's show a share on your social media platforms. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on iTunes. And as I said, if you leave a review on our iTunes page, you could be in with a chance of winning a mixed crate of St. Mel's beer, with thanks to our sponsors, stmelsbrewing.com. Thanks to our two other main sponsors this season, Flomax.ie and Diageo.ie. Thanks to Poor Clockery Pharmacy in Drumlish here for hosting the show. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel, Between the Stripes TV. And again, if you subscribe to that channel, you're in with a chance of winning the prize. And a final point in the direction of our live commentary service on Friday night, Shelburne against Limerick from the First Division on Mixlr.com/ Between the Stripes, myself and James Donnelly going live from 7:40 p.m. at Talca Park on Friday night. Folks, thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.